So here we are, a new year, a new page in the book of life. I heard this slogan on the radio this morning. Let's do 2026. And let's do it. There's a lot to be done. May the year so far be flowing well for you, and may your association with the temple, the garden, and the new center for unity, let them be a strong positive in your life. So the title is Towards Unity. It will always be towards, as complete unity is something for a distant realm. And that doesn't mean that we should write it off. Unity is something for which we yearn, something towards which we strive, as expressed, for example, in these words from the first Sufi prayer. May the message of God reach far and wide, illuminating and making the whole humanity as one single brotherhood in the fatherhood of God. As an aside, let me say that today we would probably reword bits of these prayers, like this one, and say something like, one single family in the parenthood of God. But these prayers came to Hazrat Inayat Khan, the founder of the Sufi movement, over 100 years ago, at a time when gender equality was not an issue, and it was assumed that the masculine includes the feminine, as legal documents often still put it. And so, out of respect for the original format and strength and meaning these prayers have built up over the years, we mostly stay with the original words when we say them. There's another sentence from the closing prayer of the service. Raise us above the distinctions and differences which divide men, and unite us all in thy perfect being. This doesn't mean that women are also not sometimes divided. If only that were the case. Let me just add that Inayat Khan had the highest possible regard for women, and that nearly all the early leaders who helped him in his work of spreading the message were not men. Anyway, the gender issue is not the point. The point is, unite us all. And this will always be a process, because we know only too well and too painfully that we, the people on earth, are far from united. So, what do we do about all the world's problems? If we face them, or even worse, face up to them, we will surely be flattened by their enormity. And that's not what we want. It just adds to the overall anxiety and negativity. So, what do we do, and how? Such a difficult question. A good starting point is to look around us, and we will see small pockets where people are working towards unity and all that it entails, in many ways and in many spheres. And it will always be working towards unity. And we should not be too disappointed if disunity pops up even in our favorite places. We should rather aim to navigate back towards unity in the best way we can. So, what we can do is to think of unity locally, in the hope that our intentions and efforts will join those of all others who do the same in their space and in their own way to lighten the darkness of disunity. Many religious and spiritual directions facilitate moves towards unity. As we do in these services of universal worship, which embody the unity of religious ideals. And if you're interested in the subject, Volume 9 of the Sufi Teachings has a number of chapters on this topic, and it is available from the cupboard there behind me. The Sufi movement has been holding these services in Cape Town for 70 years now. Perhaps not often enough, but still, we hope that they contribute towards the general striving towards unity. And yet, more can be done and is now being done. It started some years ago with a spark in Kobus's head. That's Kobus sitting there doing the sound. Kobus felt an inspiration, a push for a space where like-minded people can be together. And that means not only those drawn to the universal worship, but also those who strive to promote harmony and have their own way of living out their journey towards unity. And as the concept for such a space grew, the Sufi house, which had only been used for residential purposes, began to be seen as a possible place where people could be brought together. Not just any people, but those whose ideals are compatible, if that's the right word, are compatible with the Sufi ideals. And to some extent, this is already happening with regular yoga classes and a range of other activities in the temple. But there is the potential for so much more. And so the spark grew into a concept, and then a plan, and then action, which unfolded over the past year. As many of you know, the house over the years had become quite dilapidated, and it was reformatted, as it were, with extensive alterations and renovated from top to toe. You don't see much change, many alterations from the outside. The old house has heritage status, and its original features must be respected. But most of you will remember the dilapidated house and have already seen its sparkling new look. And soon you will see something of the inside. There is now a large studio for yoga and similar activities. There's space for a library, to be known as the Wisdom Library. There's a room for small meetings of all sorts and possibly for therapists. There's a large lounge which can be used in various ways in association with a lovely stoop. There are dreams of having a proper tea and coffee facility one day, a place to meet and to chat. And then there is the bachelor apartment where Rihanna lives, and she is the person who will be managing all this. Let me just as an aside say that Rihanna has done the flowers for today, and I think it might be the first time that all the flowers on the altar are from the garden. I think that is quite special. Of course, all these alterations have cost bags full of money. The Serco Civic Trust, which owns and manages the property, has diligently saved over the 40 years after the temple was built and paid for. There have been some donations and legacies, including a generous bequest from Carola Engelter. Some of you may remember her. The income from the trust investments was meticulously managed for decades by Eric von Storck, till in his older years he gave it over into younger hands. And over the years, with careful management, the capital grew to a stage where such an ambitious project could be considered. As you all know, everything always costs more than you think, and inevitably, unseen expenses arise. And that means that our fundraising for the finishing touches and the furnishings is ongoing. Quite a few people were involved in planning and executing the project, but three of them deserve special mention. There are Louis and Caroline, most of you know them, who drove the whole process forward, and they found the builder, David Lippen. David is one of the few people involved in construction today who see their work not just as building walls and roofs, but who know that they are creating a space, and in this case, a space for a special purpose. David worked with very little supervision. He was thorough, creative, and generous. He funded some of the smaller features out of his own pocket. Doing alterations to a 200-year-old house is not simple, but David found the ways and means to make it happen. And we can be truly grateful to Kurbus, Caroline, Louis, and David, and the unnamed others who assisted for their vision and its execution. Now, most of what I've been saying doesn't normally belong in a Sufi talk, but of course it's leading up to a special event, the blessing of the new spaces, collectively to be known as the Center for Unity. Exactly how the spaces in the house will be used will show itself with time. But they're almost ready to open now, and today we have the privilege of conducting the Sufi blessing ceremony there. Let me give you just a little explanation of the ceremony, and I hope all of you will participate in it. After this talk, there's some music, and during that music, we walk in procession out of the main entrance to the temple. Us three sharads will lead, and then we walk the few steps to the door of the center. And once inside, we'll go into the biggest room, which is called the Shala, a Sanskrit word used to describe a sacred home or sanctuary for yoga and other practices. And in the Shala, there's a mini altar from which the ceremony begins. From there, we proceed through the house, stopping at strategic points to bless the various spaces. During the procession, us sharads will carry incense, a glass of water, and a candle. The water symbolizes purity. The incense is for protection and ascending prayers. And the candle is for the divine light. It would be great if while we walk around, you could stay more or less in procession mode. The idea is not so much checking out the building. There will be other opportunities for that. Today is about invoking and spreading the blessing, which we can all do together. After making the tour of the house, we return to the Shala for the final blessing, and then we walk back out to the terrace for our usual refreshments. It's not a long ceremony, but it is a walking ceremony. And if you can't or would rather not join the blessing tour, you're welcome to remain seated here or perhaps outside and send your blessings to the center from there. As I was getting ready for this talk, I ran out of ideas a little bit, and I thought I would turn, as everyone does nowadays, I thought I would turn to AI, artificial intelligence, to see what it would come up with. So I asked my very simple AI program to prepare a short speech for the new Center for Unity blessing. And I expected a ramble with maybe one or two interesting thoughts I might be able to use. The answer came up in a few seconds, and this is word for word what I read. Thank you for joining us on this auspicious day as we bless the Center for Unity. Imagine a place where the shadow of Table Mountain falls equally on every story, every voice, every dream. That is the vision behind the center, a beacon in the heart of our city, dedicated to fostering unity amid our beautiful diversity. I thought this was pretty amazing, and I pondered over how this could possibly be. I know that artificial intelligence simply analyzes all the information available to it to answer any question you might ask. The AI program I was using, and I'm very new to this, it's called Perplexity. And every time I use it, I am truly perplexed. Now, perhaps I'm being fanciful, but I thought that if a computer program could assemble these words, they must somehow already be in the air. I know that computers work completely dispassionately, but isn't it wonderful that they can give us words, words to which we can give meaning? It's sort of at the other end of the spectrum of ceremonies and prayers. On the other end, they are backed by centuries and tradition. And I don't think that AI could ever produce a prayer with the strength of, for example, the Our Father of the Christian tradition. But perhaps AI can help us find the words to express what we feel, what we know. And I'm going to close with a short prayer, also generated by AI. When I asked, my question was a prayer for the blessing of the center. And I hope you will all join me in giving meaning to these words extracted from computers everywhere. Dear God, we dedicate the Center for Unity to the pursuit of harmony amongst all people. May it be a sacred space where hearts from every faith and walk of life gather in peace, compassion, and mutual respect. Bless all who enter with wisdom, healing, and shared purpose, that unity may flourish like a river of light. Amen.